Greetings from Topeka, Kansas. This is Pastor Bob Spagnuolo of the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, picking up and resuming our current study in the sovereignty of God. So far, we have considered the definition of what it means to be a sovereign, to be a king, and to be a ruler. It carries forth the idea of to be supreme in power, to have supreme dominance, and to be a supreme ruler over all. And when we apply this to God, God then must be seen, as He's revealed in Scripture, as the supreme ruler of all that He has made. And then we considered some of the definitions from theological sources, from different books, different authors, and different periodicals. And there, once again, we see the overriding definition. It is the unlimited power of God. We also saw that by this attribute of God, His sovereignty is meant His unlimited power, His power to do whatever He chooses to do. And so now I would like to move further into some of the scripture references where we find the sovereignty of God very openly revealed and very openly stated. And so at this time, I would possibly recommend to Pastor Onserio or to whoever is assisting him that what I'm going to be doing now is reading verses from the Bible. I'm going to give the text and then I'll read it. And Pastor Onserio, there may be the need for you, if you see this to be the proper way, since you're there, to hear me read the verse, and then if you need to pause the message, and then to either interpret this reading in another language, or if you need to make some exposition or to explain the verse, then feel free to do so. Let's begin by turning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verses 39. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and verse 39. Listen to what Moses wrote in this particular book. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So once again, this is a very clear statement describing the God of Scripture. God is the one who was speaking to Moses. Moses then in turn would write this down, and then he in turn would then read it to the people to whom he was serving and ministering. And notice how God says, He says, see now that I, even I, am He, am He, and there is no God like me. And then notice these very pointed words, I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So here we see an example of God's absolute sovereignty. The fact that God is not limited, God cannot be frustrated, nobody can force God into a corner, if you will, and checkmate Him as if you're playing the game, if you're playing board game chess, and you checkmate the king whereby the game is over. Nobody can checkmate God Almighty. Now turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verses 10 to 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 10 to 14. And we hear these words. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Notice those words. Thou art exalted as head, as the chief, as the king, as the supreme ruler above all. And then notice as David continues, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. Notice once again, thou reignest over all, or to put it another way, thou rulest over all. And then notice this, in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And then David is simply humbled by this particular teaching. This understanding of God's sovereignty humbles David. It doesn't exalt David's pride or arrogancy. David is brought into the dust, if you will. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Here David simply says that the offerings and the sacrifices and the praise and the thanksgiving that we give back to you is simply things that you have given to us. We in turn simply give it back to our Heavenly Father in the worship that we render to Him. Again, you may want to read this particular passage several times over, because there God says of him, David is saying of God, that he's exalted as the head above all. He reigns or rules over all, and it's God who gives power. It is God who gives might. It is God who gives us the strength to work and to make great, and he it is who gives us strength. Now turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 12. The book of Job, chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. Here the patriarch Job says, "Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord had wrought this, and whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Notice this particular words by the patriarch Job. He says that when it comes to our very soul, our very being, our very life, and the very breath that is within us is given to us by a sovereign God who superintends and who governs and who presides over his universe. Remaining in the book of Job, turn with me now to the 42nd chapter, verse 2. Job says these words, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholded from thee." Once again, what does it say? Job says, "I know that thou," speaking of God, "canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholded from thee." Again, God cannot be frustrated. God cannot be resisted. Now, on the surface, it would seem that evil men may seem to resist him. It may seem on the surface that evil men are getting their way. It would seem as if the gospel is being frustrated. It would seem that God's people are on the receiving end of persecution and even death for the sake of the gospel. So on the surface, it would look as if the church is in retreat, or even God is in retreat from his enemies. But that's just simply on the surface. We have to dig deep below the surface to realize that God can do anything he wants to do, and no one or nothing can restrain or withhold even a thought in our minds from him. Let's now turn to the book of Psalms, where we see some rich words on this subject of God's sovereignty. Notice Psalm 62 in verse 11. Psalm 62 and verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Now, once again, I mentioned in a previous lesson that when it comes to our sovereignty, we are not absolutely in control. I gave you the illustration of my wife and I planning to go on a vacation. We make all of the preparations, the tickets are bought, the suitcases are packed, the day of the going to the airport and climbing into a plane, all that is about to begin, and lo and behold, we both get sick and we have to cancel our vacation and stay home and then simply endure the illness until we get better. Well, here David says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. And I can add the word absolute without doing any violence to the verse. It says, in essence, that absolute power belongeth unto God. Only God has the right and the power to do as He pleases. I may have the power to do something, but I may not have the right to do something. On the other hand, I may have the right or the permission to do something, but I may lack the power to go about to do that particular thing. With God, there's no limitation on His rightness nor His power to do. Psalm 103, verses 19 to 22. Notice what David writes here. Psalm 103, verses 19 to 22. The Lord had prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Notice the words that David chooses. Now, David was a king, and so he can understand the words that he has chosen. He uses the word throne. All of us are quite aware of what a throne is. Again, we have a queen sitting upon a throne there in Great Britain, Queen Elizabeth II. And in England's history, she is famous for her kings. King Edward and King Henry or Queen Victoria. They've had kings and queens sitting on a throne. And when those monarchs sat on those thrones, they had limited, but nonetheless, absolute power to rule over their people. Well, when it comes to God, God's throne is much bigger and it's more powerful. David says that the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens and His kingdom, notice this, beloved, His kingdom ruleth over all. Not some of His kingdom, not just little bits and pieces, not just parts of His kingdom, but God rules supremely and absolutely over all of His kingdom. And David goes on to say, bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Notice here that God has sovereignty over His angels. When God tells His angels to do this and to do that, they do it lovingly, willingly, and obediently. Now, when it comes to you and I, as weak and frail people, sometimes we do not do it lovingly, willingly, and with obedience. But notice in God's kingdom, the angels do not resist Him. The angels do not tell God, no, I'm not going to do this, or no, I'm not going to go here, and no, I'm not going to say this or say that. Read on. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, His ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Notice, the angels do the very will and pleasure of God Almighty. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Notice that word, dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So here in this one word, or in this one passage, we have the word throne, we have the word kingdom, and we have the word dominion. And all of those words in English carry forth the idea of an absolute king, or an absolute ruler, or an absolute monarch, whose pleasure is to be fulfilled. And then in Psalm 115, a verse which we're going to use as the main main word of this particular lesson of God's sovereignty, is Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He, that is God, hath done whatsoever he had pleased. So this verse alone, if this was the only verse in the entire Bible that spoke to or touched upon the sovereignty of God, it would be enough to settle any debate or any argument. Now let's continue. Finally, in Psalm 135, verses 3 to 6, David writes, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord had chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, now listen carefully, that word pleased can also mean or be translated whatsoever the Lord desired, whatsoever the Lord decreed, whatsoever the Lord commanded, and whatsoever the Lord ordained, that did he in heaven, in the earth, in the seas, in all deep places. Now you may want to underline this if you have a copy of the Bible, because here we see the extent of God's sovereignty. He's not just sovereign in heaven with the angels, but he is also sovereign on the earth. And that would include God being sovereign and ruling over the sinner as well as the saint, the most wickedest person that would ever have been alive on this planet. God is in control of him and her. It also says in the ocean and in all deep places, as far deep as you can go, God is sovereign. As high as you can go, God is sovereign. Now let's move on to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 to 7. And again, I would ask Pastor Onserio, once again, that if there's a need for him to stop and to rewind and listen again to these verses as I read them, that's not a problem. Please do so. I would rather all of you take the time to hear the verses, to listen to what's being said, and then try to understand what it is saying about our great God. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 to 7. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Once again, beloved, this is a very, very telling verse. This almost sounds like the very first verse I gave us in Deuteronomy 32 and 39, where it says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Well, what does it say here in the book of Isaiah? God said, I formed the light and created darkness. Well, that would go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, when God called forth light out of the darkness before he created everything in 6 days. He says, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, he creates evil, I, the Lord, do all these things. Now let me explain something here, just in case you might have gotten a little bit uneasy about when God says that he creates evil. We have to understand the word that is being used here and the context and the understanding. When it says that God creates evil, it is not meaning that God causes us to sin, nor is it implying that God is the one who sins. When it says that God creates evil, try to understand it in this way. God allows bad things to happen, but he is not the author nor the originator of that evil. God simply has bad things happen in our lives. It could be the death of a child. It could be a natural disaster where we lose our possessions, our homes. It may be an illness that is brought upon us, or it may be a national calamity. The Bible says that God does allow these things to occur because, again, we do live in a world that has fallen into sin. Now, let's move on to Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 10. Notice what else is said here. And again, all these verses come from the Old Testament. And so tonight's lesson is only going to be in the Old Testament scriptures. And our fourth lesson in this subject will consider verses from the New Testament. Isaiah 46 and 10, speaking of God, speaking of himself, he says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel. Now listen carefully. The word counsel can also be rendered as follows: my will, my pleasure, my plan, my decree, my will shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Notice those words. God says of himself that his counsel, his will, his decree, his foreordination of all things, his plan that he has set into motion, his counsel shall stand. It's going to stand. No man can undermine God. No man can checkmate God. No man can frustrate him. God's will prevail. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Two more verses, and then we'll close this third lesson. Jeremiah 32 and 27. Jeremiah 32 and 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, there are certain things I know that I can't do. I may not be able to pick up 100 pounds of something without hurting myself. I may not be able to run as fast as I once did when I was a younger man. I may not be able to read and concentrate the way I did when I was a man in my 20s versus now being 64 years old. But when it comes to God, God says, is there anything too difficult or too hard for me to do? And the answer is no. If God wants the sun to shine, God can make the sun to shine. If God wants to bring an abundance of rain, he can bring that. If God wants to bless our crops, whereby we have plenty of food to eat, he can do that as well. Nothing can hinder nor frustrate God. And then finally, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, here as you turn there, in Daniel chapter 4, we find the conversion of an unbelieving pagan king. Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan man. Nebuchadnezzar was a man who worshipped many gods. Nebuchadnezzar was also a very bloodthirsty ruler. He went to war and he killed many people. He conquered many people, to include God's people. And notice what happens to him at the end of his experience in coming to faith in Christ, Nebuchadnezzar writes these words, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he," referring to God, "doeth according to his will in the army of heaven," that would be the angels, "and among the inhabitants of the earth," that would refer to all of mankind. And notice this, beloved, notice this. "None can stay his hand," meaning none can put a roadblock and cause God to come to a stop, "or say unto him, what doest thou?" Beloved, this doctrine is so humbling, and this doctrine is hated by human nature, because here Nebuchadnezzar says about God, nobody can stop God in his plan in coming about and being fulfilled. And then this is the most humbling of these words. Nobody can even ask God, "What are you doing?" We don't even have the right to question what God is doing. If God chooses to send famine, if God chooses to send a flood, if God chooses to send disease, if God chooses to send the sunshine, if God chooses to send the birds to sing, to give us joy and simple delight, the Bible says we can't even question. We can't even get in God's face and say to him, "What in the world are you doing?" We can't even go there, because that's holy ground. And so, beloved, I hope that in these verses that I've given to you, and again, I would say for Pastor Onserio to reread them again and have your people hear my words again, as I've given a few thoughts upon these verses. If you need to play this lesson another time or several times, I'd rather you do that in order for your people to truly understand this very lofty and yet humbling reality that God is sovereign, he is the king, he is the majestic ruler, he is the governor and the prime minister of his universe. And nobody can stop God from being God. And then lastly, none of us can even question him by saying, "What and why are you doing what you're doing?" Well, I hope these past three lessons have been a blessing. I know that in all likelihood, this material may be a little challenging, to say the least, but it's something that's taught in the Bible, and it's something that pastors need to teach their people. Because one of the comforts for the child of God and for the church there in Kenya is to realize that no matter what comes into your life, whether it's good or bad, God is in control. Whether you have evil leaders, whether you have doctors that are now still on strike, and dozens of your people are unfortunately passing away because they cannot get medical attention. Even in my country, we have natural disasters. We have politicians who are evil. We have men and women in high office who hate God. They hate the Bible, and they hate the church. They would rather see us simply go away, or if they had their way, they would put us in prison. But the sovereignty of God is a comforting teaching, because nothing can come into our lives unless God gives it permission. And since God is sovereign, he cannot be overthrown. And evil men, in the end, will be punished, because God's will always be fulfilled. Well, I hope you all take care. May the Lord bless you and keep you. From my house, from my wife, and the church here in Topeka, Kansas, we send our greetings to Pastor Umbasa, Pastor Onserio, Sister Rose, all the ladies who work there in the chicken project, to all of the children that are there, to all the men and women who sit and hear the Word of God from week after week, I send you my greetings, my love, and my encouragement in the Lord. Take care, and God bless.